worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. That was verses again 26 to 38, Luke chapter 1. And then looking specifically in the book of Psalms, Psalm 127, it tells us these words of wisdom. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Verses 1 through 5, Psalm 127. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that you give us, you entrust to us, to be able to make disciples, and thank you specifically for the wonderful privilege and opportunity for us to make disciples of our children, the opportunity to help them to come to know Christ and to teach them and help them to grow up and grow strong in the Lord, and the privilege of being able to help them to become kingdom warriors who know how to go out and build your kingdom, spread the gospel, and help tear down the kingdom of darkness. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit, your Holy Spirit of fire, and help us to be wise enough to disciple our children and be vessels through which you can reach and set them on fire for you and for your kingdom as well. Help us to know, Lord, that the seriousness of the battlefield that we walk through in this life is a serious battlefield, and one in which, as we're wise enough and equipping our children to become kingdom warriors, we're helping them in some of the most fruitful ways possible. Thank you for the opportunity to do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful to know that you are advancing your kingdom around the world, that you are changing hearts, that you are maturing Christians, that you are doing a mighty work. We thank you for the shield you are to us. You protect us and watch over us, that you are our shepherd, and we know that we shall not want. We can know that you're going to provide our every need. We thank you for that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. A continued reminder to you, we're encouraging you to take time to go to the AFA Resource Center. Visit the AFA Resource Center by going to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. The AFA Resource Center is an online bookstore whereby you can get items, books, and other items and tools that can help to equip you to be a kingdom warrior in our culture and in our world. Tools to help you to do the work of evangelism and discipleship in your own home and in the world in which we live. And we do hope that you would take the time to go there and take a look at the selections of what's there, and also prayerfully decide things that you feel like could be helpful tools, books and other items that will be helpful tools to help mold you, shape you, and encourage you to be the kingdom warrior the Lord is calling you to be. Again, go to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. AFA Resource Center is a ministry of the American Family Association. Well, we've continued sharing about our Ten Commandments speech contest. You know, it's been a very just a neat experience thus far in receiving so many of the speeches. We've received over 20 speeches for the contest, and all of them have been powerful. All of them have been encouraging messages, and it's so powerful to see the Spirit of God working in the hearts and the minds of these young people, these children and youth, as they've participated. And so we've shared a number of the speeches, and once again, we're going to share a few on the broadcast today as we look specifically. Today, we're looking specifically at the topic of teaching and guiding our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. And one great side of the experience of walking through this contest so far has been to see how God has used mightily these young people as they function as kingdom warriors, proclaiming truth that can bless their peers and bless anyone and everyone else as well. We're going to take time to listen now to a speech by a young lady named Emily.
Hello, my name is Emily Lowry, and the commandment that I chose for today is the fourth commandment. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I feel like this commandment is a commandment that our nation is struggling with, like a lot. Because, you know, before COVID hit, you could find people to go to church on Sunday, and they'd go on Wednesday night service as well. But now you can't even find people to go to church because they're all like, I don't want to get sick and I'll just stay at home and watch it. But, you know, they kind of throw it off so that they'll be like, I did watch it, you know. But anyways, this is a hurting world. It seems like everyone forgot about the Lord, the one who woke them up this morning and the one who is watching over them when they don't even realize it. And you can be like, Emily, how does that relate to keeping the Sabbath day holy? I mean, if you forget about the Lord, then what's the point of even going to church? I mean, you got to think about it like that. And, you know, it's very sad when people take credit for everything the Lord does. People need to hear the gospel, and people need to go back to church, to where it all began. Now, church is not the way to heaven. You have to ask the Lord to come inside your heart and be the Lord of your life forever. And then you have to repent. And then you have to do daily devotion towards Him. And that's just like an everyday thing that you do. That just shows that you know the Lord. Like, praying to Him and reading your Bible. And then, like, I have this little devotional thing where I read a Bible topic and then I read things about that, like, support that. And then I pray about that. I mean, yeah, that works too. But these are all ways that we can connect with the Lord and, you know, learn more about Him and, more importantly, help our relationship with Him go stronger. But I'm saying this. We need to get back in the church before it's too late. And we need to get these people in here, too, so they can learn more about the Lord.
Again, a speech by a young lady named Emily, a young teenager. And again, powerful speech as she shares her heart. And again, as you listen to each of the young people as they share their speeches, my encouragement to you is that you pray, take time to pray for each of them, that God would use them to be witnesses and ambassadors for His kingdom amongst their peers, in their schools, wherever they are, because God obviously can use them wonderfully as they make themselves available vessels to be used by Him. Father, we thank You for Emily. Thank You for all the other young people that participated in the project. And thank You, Lord, for those that thought long and hard about it, even if they didn't manage to plug in. Lord, anoint all these, our children, with a fresh anointing. Stir them more and more to have a love, a growing and a greater love for You, for Your Word, and a commitment to be vessels through which you can work to carry out your work and will in the world. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, you know, we read at the beginning of the broadcast a passage from the Gospel of Luke about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And, you know, a very powerful truth to remember is that Mary, at the time when the angel Gabriel approached her and let her know that she would be the mother of the Messiah, scholars believe Mary was probably between 12 and 16 years old. So obviously, probably a teenager, but a very, very young girl. And for many would say she was a child. But see how God used her mightily and wonderfully. Again, God used her as a vessel through which he sent our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world. And a number of powerful examples you find in Scripture of how God used young people, children and youth to carry out his work and his will in the world. And notice in that passage, again, it was Luke chapter 1, we read verses 26 to 38. Well, notice the angel Gabriel approaches her about the whole matter of her being the mother of the Messiah, and she graciously accepts the task. Notice again in verse 34, she responds initially with a question. Verse 34 says, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." An encouragement I want to share with every single listener is that pray for the young people, that obviously pray diligently. Let us pray diligently for our own children, our grandchildren. Pray for the children in your church fellowship as well. And pursue projects and discipleship opportunities like the Ten Commandments Project, ways to help our young people engage the Word of God, to put the Word of God in their hearts and their lives, and to begin to live that Word out. Again, Mary is just one of a number of wonderful examples of individuals in the Bible that God used to carry out his work, to build his kingdom, and to do wonderful kingdom things. Well, you know, in the Word of God, you look also one of the great figures in all of the Word of God, towering figure in the Old Testament and New Testament, King David. Well, of course, you see King David, where he's introduced to us first in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. And of course, interesting how that in that chapter, what has happened is Saul has been disobedient to God. Saul has had what you might call an inadequate heart for God and for the things of God. And so God has decided he's going to select a new king. And he sends Samuel to the house of a man by the name of Jesse to select a king from amongst his sons. And so chapter 16 opens up with these words. "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I've provided myself a king among his sons.' And Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me.' But the Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And so, of course, Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, and he lets Jesse know that he wants to see his sons. And so we'll pick up there on the other side. Today we're looking at the topic, teaching and guiding our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. We'll be right back.
I put my hope in
from Planet Shakers. Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, the only way to come to know, to come to be saved and to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus is the only way to eternal life. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking today at the topic, teaching and guiding our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. That's the topic we're looking at. And we were talking some about young Mary. Again, probably Mary was between the age of 12 and 16, but probably a young teenager when God approached her about being the mother of the Messiah. And David as well. Notice too, when David is anointed king of Israel, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 specifically, David is probably, based on scholarly research, probably is around the age of 15. Now, some people say 17. Well, again, they may not know exactly, but pretty close to between the ages of 15 to 17. So obviously a young teenage boy, a young man, young boy, whatever word you may want to use there. But he's a young man, and God uses him mightily in this wonderful way. And so we're going to read in 1 Samuel chapter 17 in just a few minutes, but we're going to take time to listen to one more speech, one of the participants in the speech contest, because again, our goal is to encourage young people like these young persons that have participated in the Ten Commandments Project to be kingdom warriors that God can and will use as well. So this next speech you're going to listen to is by a young man by the name of Reagan, and he's going to share his speech at this time.
Hello, my name is Reagan Ritter, and I'm writing I wrote a speech on the Third Commandment, and I am 11. And anyway, in Exodus 27, God said, "Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. God's name should not be used in vain. Whenever we use his name, we should use it with honor and reverence. He is the one who spoke, and the universe came into place. That's the kind of God we serve. His name is to be highly honored. The Bible says in Philippians 2:10-11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So many people these days just use God's name in vain. And yet, some really don't care if they say God's name in vain. And some people try to dishonor God and say his name in vain on purpose. Also, people not only say God's name in vain, but they dishonor him by blaspheming God, which means slander directed to God. People also dishonor him in their lives. Here are a couple of examples. Not sharing with a sibling, irritating another person just to watch them suffer, hating others, and the list goes on and on and on. These are all from the devil. All those are sin, and God hates all sin. Whether you think it's just a little white lie or not, God looks at all sin as the same. It's just as bad to kill someone as it is to disobey your parents. There will be different consequences, but they're both sins. The Bible also says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We are all born with a sin nature, so no matter how much you go to church, how much of the Bible you've read, how many Bible verses you can quote, you can't get saved. Works can't save you, but believing in Jesus Christ will save you, and you can know that for a fact. God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for you. That's how much he loves you. He wants you to be saved very much, but he can't be in the presence of sin. He is holy, which means he is set apart from all sin. So you must believe in Jesus to go to heaven. This does not mean once you get saved, you can go back to your old nature and do whatever you want to do. The Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." We also must be careful with what we think. Our thoughts can even make us sin. The thing is, Jesus never, ever thought a bad thought. The Bible also says in Philippians 4:8, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise." The Bible also says in Colossians 3:2, "Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth." Both of those verses are saying, don't think about the things that are temporal. Think about the things that are eternal. The things of this earth will pass away, but God never passes away. He's eternal, which means he always has always has been, and always will be. That is extremely hard for our finite minds to comprehend. But because God has always been, He's there for you and loves you wherever you are. The Bible also says in Psalms 46, 1 and 2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. God is there whenever you need Him. So we should not be afraid because we have Jesus with us wherever we go. Even when it doesn't feel like it, He is omnipresent, which means He is always present everywhere. The Bible also says in Psalm 139, 7 through 10, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell at the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me." God is everywhere, at all times. Isn't that amazing? The Creator of the universe is always with you and loves you so much. And we often, very often, spit in His face and shake our fists at Him, and we say, "God, I don't need you," when we need Him for every second of our lives. We think that if we have enough riches or fame, we don't need God, and that is pride, and God abhors pride. Although we might not say it with our words, even if we think it, we can do it all by ourselves, it is still pride. So let us honor God in the way we use His name, in the way we act, in the way we talk, in the way we think. I hope and pray that I have changed your perspective on the third commandment.
Again, a powerful speech by a young man by the name of Reagan. He's 11 years old and sharing some very encouraging and powerful truth in his Ten Commandments speech. Again, today we're looking at the topic, teaching and guiding our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. And of course, I would say all the young people that did participate in the Ten Commandments Project very much are kingdom warriors as they share the truth they're sharing through their speeches. Again, we were looking at the life of King David. Remember, King David was probably between the ages of 15 and 17 when he fought Goliath. And so here we pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 17 the story of this young man who, again, probably very much a teenager, prepared to step out and carry out battle with an experienced and well-equipped warrior. Yet David, a young teenage boy, knew the God of the universe, and God was at work mightily in his life. So we pick up here, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 31. "Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.' Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.' So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, 'I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them.' So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shea-Araim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Verses 31 to 58, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Interesting how several times the term youth or young man are used in this passage. Again, David was a young teenager when he fought Goliath and won this great battle, not just for himself, but a battle for the whole nation of Israel. In the truest sense of the word, a battle for the kingdom of God. God used David, a young man, mightily. And my encouragement to every single listener is we as the church really need to mobilize and put to work our children and youth, helping and molding them to become the kingdom warriors the Lord wants them to be. Yes, God can use children. He can use teenagers. He can use young adults. He can use adults. He can use us at whatever age we make ourselves as available vessels. God even used John the Baptist from his mother's womb to witness to the coming of the Messiah. Don't underestimate how God can use children and youth as we put them to work. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to help our children and youth to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Stir us as the church to be wise enough to make it the priority you want it to be for the church to evangelize and disciple our young people and put them to work in your kingdom. Help us to know that our children can be wonderful vessels through which you can do the work of evangelism and discipleship. You can use them to edify others, to share truth, to boldly be witnesses and kingdom warriors through which your spirit can work to accomplish exploits in the world. Lord, help us to know that like Mary and like David and like others in your word, you desire to use our children as well as adults to accomplish the work of the sharing of the gospel, to accomplish the work of the spread of the gospel, to accomplish the work of building your kingdom and showing what the love of Jesus Christ looks like in the world. Help us as fathers and mothers and as grandfathers and grandmothers and as leaders in the church to be wise enough to help our youth to not leave them on the sideline, to not set them aside, but to put them to work for the work of your kingdom in all the areas you would have us to. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. as we're looking today at the topic, teaching and guiding our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. We'll be right back. Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, teaching and guiding our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. And we've been listening to some of the speeches from some of the youth that participated in our Ten Commandments speech contest. We're going to listen now to a speech by a young lady by the name of Olivia.
Hello, my name is Olivia Lowry, and the commandment that I chose is the sixth one. And it says, thou shalt not kill. And to kill someone is a bad thing. God stands for good things. God does not honor disobedience. If you disobey the sixth commandment, then you will have to suffer God's punishment. And God will be angry with you, and that is not a good thing. When someone dies, it affects the family and friends. And on the day that the person died years later, the family remembers that today was that day. I think nobody should take anybody else's life. When you take someone's life, that is something that will affect the future. You are not only taking one life, but this selfish act will affect the whole family for the rest of your life and theirs. An example is abortion. Everyone deserves a chance to live, even an unborn baby. If you kill a baby, you will kill their future. The child could have been a future president, maybe a preacher. God's word is true and powerful. God has given us instructions on how to give, on how to live each day. God is pleased with us when we follow His commandments. Every life is precious to God, and He wants to see everyone fulfill their mission in life.
Again, a powerful speech by a young lady, young teenager named Olivia, on the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, teaching and guiding our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. And a word of encouragement and a challenge to every believer listening and to every church represented listening to the broadcast today, that we would make it our goal to aggressively help our children to come to both know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and to aggressively do the work of helping to disciple them, helping them to grow up, and aggressively helping them to become kingdom warriors that will be actively involved in the work of the building of God's kingdom. God can use any available vessel at whatever age they might possibly be. Let's put our children to work for the kingdom of God. Too often have we seen the devil to seek to use children to build the kingdom of darkness. They don't belong to the devil. It's important that we know that every child should be dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, more and more help us to recognize the need for us to passionately be about the work of evangelizing and discipling our children so that they can come to know Christ and spend eternity with you as well, but so that they all can become kingdom warriors that can be about the work of carrying out God's work and will in the world. We see too many young people going down wrong roads, destructive roads, dark roads. Help us to point our children to the King, to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Lord Jesus Christ, and let us be about the work of helping them to really be about your work in the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, we're going to go and listen to another speech by a young man by the name of Reed.
I'm Reed Redder, and I'm doing my speech on the 10th commandment, do not covet. The Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. My name is Reed Redder, and I'll be discussing the 10th commandment, do not covet. First of all, since the word covet is not a word that we extremely often use in our contemporary context, I believe that it is necessary to first outline what the word actually means, and we will then be in agreement over the word's definition. Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language defines the word covet as to desire inordinately, to desire that which is unlawful to obtain or possess, in a bad sense. In our culture today, there is and has been a whole lot of coveting going on, even though we may not call it as such. We covet whatever it may be, from a pair of basketball shoes to a huge house that someone else has, so much so to where it takes over our thoughts and dominates our lives. We work and work and work until we can get that new car, those new shoes, etc. Too often we dwell on the things that we have to be happy, so much so to where it becomes an idol. And like I just stated, it takes over our minds. This creates a huge problem because now we are not satisfied until we get that one thing that we have to be happy. This makes it impossible to be content, and it also makes you ungrateful for the things that God has given you. Now, when talking about coveting, it is important to draw the line between just wanting something and coveting it. I may just want a certain pair of shoes without letting it dominate my thoughts, without letting it take over my heart and mind. When one covets, it controls their thoughts and mind, and they believe the lie that they have to get whatever it may be to be happy and have joy in life. Whatever they may want controls them, and it too often becomes their God. As Romans 1:21-23 says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. They believed the lie that they need this car, this house, or those shoes to be happy and have joy in life. But like I said, this is a lie. Ask some of the richest people in the world if they are satisfied with what they have. If they are honest, most of them would admit that having all the money in the world doesn't satisfy them. The world will never satisfy you. God alone satisfies. The Lord has given us everything that we need, and he provides for us. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God provides for us, and because of him, we can be joyful even in the midst of life's struggles. We do not need anything else to make us happy or joyful. We have him. We have everything we need. This is why we have to always be on guard, particularly against coveting. In our world, the temptation to covet is very real and very strong. We are constantly bombarded by what someone else has or where they are going on vacation this year. Social media only makes this worse. People see the lives of others and how they have, for instance, a huge three-story house. At this point, it is very easy and very common in our day to covet those people and their resources. This quickly can become your God, to where now you take something like work, which in and of itself is a very good thing, and turn it to bad because now you are working all the time trying to get more money that you think you have to be happy. This is real life. Covetousness also produces jealousy and envy, which are both agents of evil. We have to be on guard against covetousness. We have to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. When we do this, we will be content. 1 Timothy 6:6-11 says it best. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Covetousness is destructive. It is a deadly disease. God knew that. That is why he commands us not to covet. This command is for our own good. Contentment, on the other hand, is only from the Father. We need to flee from covetousness and, as the previous verse said, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness.
Again, a speech, one of the Ten Commandments speeches by a young man by the name of Reed. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, teaching and guiding our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. And all the speeches that we've shared on the broadcast over the period of the week, several weeks as we've been doing the Ten Commandments speech project, every speech has been powerful and has spoken mightily. And, you know, something that's very interesting in many settings, when a young person, whether it's in a church setting or even in a school setting, often when a young person stands before his or her peers to do something like share a speech or give a testimony or share something from their heart, interesting how sometimes you notice their peers often are mesmerized to see one of their own standing before a crowd doing something significant. What a great thing the opportunity we have as the church to put our young people to work in the kingdom of God as witnesses, as those sharing speeches or messages or testimonies. God has so much work he can do through any child, youth, or adult that's simply available, that is willing to be used by God. God wants to use all of us to do his work in his will. How important it is that we do just that. Father, thank you once again for every young person that's been a part of the speech contest thus far. Thank you for how that you've used them. Thank you for how that your Holy Spirit is working mightily in their lives. Stir them more and more to grow in their love for you and their love for your word. Help them to become much more diligent students of your word, who read and meditate on your word, grow in your word, and move in the power of your word and your spirit each and every day. Use them more and more for your glory and help them to grow in their fruitfulness in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Earlier we read Psalm 127. It's a short psalm, but it has some powerful insight about the family and specifically about children. I'm going to share it one more time. Psalm 127, beginning at verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Keep in mind, just a powerful picture and point that it makes is, it said, referring to children, it says, they're like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How important it is that we help our children to become the kingdom warriors that God would have them to be. As we close our time as usual, if you're someone listening and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to make that step. Today is a great day to be saved, to fully put your heart and your life in the Lord's hands. The most important decision in all of life is that of choosing to receive Christ. Would you simply pray this prayer with me if you'd like to make that very important step in your life? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me with an everlasting love. You've loved me so much that you came into this world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways, Lord. By faith, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart anew. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you my whole life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Please email us if you prayed that prayer and committed your heart or recommitted your heart to the Lord. We'd really like to be in touch with you, like to share with you some resources to help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Or if you simply want some of the prayer and discipleship resources and tools that we provide, we're glad to share them with you. Once again, jparker@afa.net. Today we've been looking at the topic, teaching and guiding our children and youth to be kingdom warriors. I hope that you'll be encouraged and challenged to do just that, to do all you can to help disciple your children, your grandchildren, other children in your church, and those you have influence with to become kingdom warriors, living their lives as warriors in the kingdom of God. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.